Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I am genuinely delighted to welcome to the show digital marketing mentor and coach, Gary Henderson. And he's going to share with us today some great tips and advice on how to create the right message and get it to the right audience at the right time. He's going to share with us tips about why businesses should do their own online marketing, crafting the right offer, building out your customer avatars, the R3MAT method, which I'm not quite sure what that is, so I'm really anxious to hear about that, and stop automating and start personalizing, very important, and focus on content. Gary, welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm so excited to have you here. And before we launch into the questions that I have for you, can you tell people a bit about yourself and how you came to do what it is that you do so well? And by the way, I just signed up for his mentoring program. So this is a big deal for me to kind of listen and, you know, ask questions. So thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me today. So yeah, I got started doing business at a young age. So I was 18. I went to college for about a year. College wasn't really my thing. I didn't really make it too far. I got really bored and I left. Now, my mother's I grew up single parent. My mother was a school teacher. And she said, you know, you're never going to make anything out of your life if you don't go to college. That was just what was ingrained in everything about me. And like I said, I made it just over a year. I started my third semester, didn't make it any, I think I may have made it a couple weeks into my third semester. And I said, I'm going to leave. And she kind of looked at me again and she said, you know, you're not going to make anything out of your life. And I said, yes, I am. I'll get a job in computers. And she said, yeah, right. You don't have a degree. So I got a job working at a local ad agency here in my town of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I was their developer, their in-house programmer for about a year. During that year, I took a couple of college classes on programming just to kind of increase my skills a little bit. I'm completely self-taught. But during that year, I completed about a 3.5-year plan in 12 months. Now, I did all this while my boss tore his ACL playing in a men's softball league, and he was out for about 6 months of that year. So the person who was supposed to be there mentoring me, helping me out, was on medical leave 6 months of that first year. I completed about a 3.5-year plan in 12 months. I went into my annual review, and my salary that they offered me, which I thought was great at 19 years old, they offered me a $20,000 a year salary. I didn't have a college degree. Not too shabby, you know, make $20,000 a year, get to do what I love. I sat in this room. I had no windows in my office. I had a little mini fridge. I had my computer, and I just worked. And after that year, I went into my annual review, and they told me how great I had done that year. They said, Gary, you've met all of our expectations. You're actually ahead of schedule. We wanted to launch what you built in about 2.5 years. We've launched it in this first year. You've done phenomenal. And we want to offer you a raise. And I was like, oh, here it comes. You know, I've done 3.5 years worth of work in 12 months. So I did quick math in my head. And I'm like, well, if they were going to pay someone $20,000 a year for 3.5 years, that'd be $70,000 they would have paid them. I did it for 20. Man, I'm about to get like a $20,000 raise is what I set myself up for. And they looked at me and they said, we're going to give you one of the biggest raises we've ever given anyone in the company. I said, ooh, here it comes, here it comes. And they said, we're going to give you a 10% raise. So you're going to make $22,000 a year.
Well,
yeah, that reaction that you just had was about the same one that I had.
Yeah, I would have been hiking my butt out the door. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I did. I looked at them and I said, you know, guys, it's been great. I've learned a ton and I've loved every minute of working here. But I need to put in my resignation. So I'm going to document the system that I built and I'm going to leave and I'm going to start my own company. And I've been doing some stuff on the side, kind of on my own during that process. So I left and I started my first company at the age of 20. And I really haven't looked back since. I did a couple brief stints working for other people, but I've been doing my own thing and running my own business since then. I make substantially more money than my mother that was a teacher did. You know, I have a cousin of mine that everyone in my family thought, oh, she's the successful one because she's a doctor. And she's working her tail off and, you know, and lives a fine life. But she's working her tail off and she's, you know, in a ton of student loan debt from becoming a doctor. And I just sit back in my home office and enjoy my life. And no one in my family really understands what I do. I was at my mom's on Sunday. She has cancer. So we were putting together her Christmas tree and stuff to that extent. And I had someone that I had consulted with and they emailed me and said, Gary, we'd like to book an hour of your time. And I said, great. And they said, can you send us the link again? And it's $1,000 an hour. And I told my mom that. And she just said, why would someone ever pay $1,000 to talk to you? And I said, well, you know, I'm pretty good at what I do, Mom. I know you may not understand it. And she wasn't meaning it bad. She just doesn't get it because
she
came from the mindset
the same thing from
you have to go to
family.
College.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody really understands
so
what it is.
So that's how I got my start.
We're digital warriors, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. That's how I got my start. And, you know, there was a pretty pivotal moment in my life, probably in 2000, and I think it was 2008. I took a brief stint as a VP of an agency in town. I lasted about 8 months, start my own agency. They found out that I was looking for some funding, and they fired me. And at that moment, that's when things got real to me. And I said, you know, I got to change things up because the first company that I ran, I had an angel investor and I had some funding behind the scenes. But 2008 was when I really started the journey of funding myself and, you know, planning my own life, building my own destination. I had some hiccups through the process. You know, I ran an agency and at one point in time, I had a client that was handling or accounting for the mass majority of my billings. And I felt that I was just getting owned. You know, at the end of the year, they would owe a chunk of money and they would refuse to pay it. And they would tell me that if I don't continue working for them, that's fine. They'll pay me the money if I want it. But they're going to fire me and not work with me anymore if they have to pay that money. And they were paying about $30,000 a month in billings to us. They would owe us $20,000, $25,000 at the end of the year and say, you know, we can pay you the $20,000 or $25,000, but we're not going to pay you the $30,000 for January because we're not going to work with you anymore. So I was just getting abused and beat up and made a pretty huge shift in life, in my business life in about 2013, so about 5 years ago, and have been happier and happier ever since. I shut my agency down. We work with just 3 full-service clients that I have a very, very close, tight relationship with, but I shut the agency down. At our biggest point, we had 15 employees. I'm down to just myself, my wife, and one employee. So just different quality of life and that we're given by God, and that's time. And we don't know how long we're going to be on this earth, and we don't know when our time's going to be up. But the one thing that we always have to realize is we're never going to get any more time. Whatever it is, it is.
The time
we're spending talking today, and thank you so much for having me, but we're never going to get to relive this moment. We're not going to get this time back. So I decided that, you know, life was too important to try to build this huge, massive business and try to have all this big team. It just wasn't where my focus was. I just want to help people do great things and help people make a huge impact in the world and do it on my pace and at my speed. So that's how I got my start, and that's kind of where we are today.
And thank you for sharing that. But Gary, before we go too much further, tell people who you have worked with, because there's a reason you're doing the things that you do. And you have worked with some instantly recognizable names. And even if you're not a digital marketer, you're going to know who some of these people are. So share that with, you know, those credentials, if you would, and then let's just kind of jump into why we should do our own marketing and creating the right offer and get into kind of the nuts and bolts of getting yourself out there and showing people who you are, what you bring to the table, how you can help them. So I'll shut up and you talk.
Yeah, most definitely. So, you know, I've worked with one of the top 10 hotels in the world. So at one point in time, there was this agency and they did over $1 billion a year in revenue. And there was me, just a small little agency in South Carolina. And there were two people that represented a top 10 hotel. And I was one of them, and they represented the other 10 hotels. So I've worked with hundreds of small businesses. I've worked with online businesses like Aromahead, Lewis Howes, Jeff Walker, Eben Pagan, Lisa Sasevich, Allie Brown, Suzanne Evans, Dr. Axe, which is the seventh largest health website on the internet. So I've worked with really the who's who in the information space. I've ran $9 million, $10 million launches. I've ran $4 or $5 million launches. I've ran $20,000 launches. I've worked with amazing.com. They typically do $10 to $12 million when they do a launch. I've spoke on stages in front of 2,000 people. I've, you know, traveled all over the U.S. speaking and consulting with clients. You know, my magic, and I really came to learn this over the last, I don't know, I've been kind of coming into it for the last couple of years, but my magic, and it's not running a Facebook ad or running a Google ad. My magic is really crafting that right message to serve to that right audience at the right time and helping businesses understand that. I was actually just having a conversation with someone this morning, and they run a successful multi-million dollar business. They decided to launch a low-end membership course. And I asked them, I said, how's it going? You know, like, just how's life going? And she said, do you want the Facebook polite answer or do you want the truth? And I said, well, obviously the truth, because the Facebook polite answer is boring as it can be. She said, you know, it sucks. I've been sitting here. I've been working all year long trying to do this. I realized we don't know a lot about our business. We don't know a lot about our customers. We've been successful at selling high-end programs because we're selling them for a lot of money. But when we have to sell someone something for a lot less money, we struggle. And we don't know our metrics. We don't know this. We don't know that. And she said, I just want to crawl in a bunker and hide. And I said, you know, a lot of people do that. And a lot of people think that way. And that's why, you know, when you go and you want to grow this business, you want to grow this life, you know, don't try to outsource everything. You know, you mentioned in the little intro that you did, you said the R3MAT, and it's really easy. It's the right message to the right audience at the right time. And I think that that's going to be the key to business for 2019, 2020, 2021. I think that everyone that's trying to run the next Facebook chat bot, or they're trying to do the next super slick funnel, or they're hacking someone else's funnel to figure out what they're doing, they're not original, they're not authentic, and they're not going to have a true business. Because what my friend that I was speaking to this morning learned is, she said, you know what, we're fine and we can sell some high-end services, but we don't have a scalable business. We don't have a commodity we can go sell to anyone else, because without me, I don't have it. You know, I went with
I'm
some,
in the same boat, which is why you are now my mentor.
Yeah.
That's exactly why I joined, because I have the same thing. I'm, you know, working for a lot of high-end clients. I do fantastic work, if I do say so myself. I enjoy what I do. But at this particular moment, I have nothing to sell were I to sell my business, because it's all predicated on my presence. That's no way to run a business.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you're running a practice. You're not running a business. So a practice
exactly.
is like a law firm
exactly.
or a chiropractor, and you have a book of clients and a book of business. But if you left that business today, then they wouldn't go with the next person. You can't replace yourself as the CEO of that company. I tried. You know, I knew this, and I knew this about my company a couple years ago, and I tried to do it. And I hired a brilliant marketer, or a brilliant person. Let me just say that. She wasn't a brilliant marketer yet. And I taught her as much as I could teach her. And she started being the daily point contact with my clients. And it still wasn't me. It wasn't an asset that someone wanted to come in and buy. And I said, you know, it makes me a great little living, but it's not anything that I can move past. So, you know, I get it. I get where people are at. It's why, you know, it bothers me. I've ran a lot of tests lately over the past couple of years. Working with people and business owners, no matter what kind of business they were in, working at all different price points and all different levels. And I ran these tests just to see what are results going to do. And I found that if you're spending less than $10,000 a month on your paid advertising online, then you should be doing it yourself. Because it's not, tactically, it's not hard to do. You know, it's not that the tactics, I mean, Facebook and Google, I mean, they made it so easy to do it. But it's the strategy that comes into play. And it takes so much time and energy and effort in producing the content and producing what that meme or that graphic's going to be, or writing that really cool story, or just living life so you have a cool story to tell. It takes that in order to make an impact on the internet. It takes that in order to make an impact in life. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they were a keynote speaker. They said they used to make $15,000 a week giving keynotes, and now they're basically making nothing because everyone went to the internet, and they don't exist on the internet. They're just a nobody. They're not in the, you know, used to, you'd hire somebody through a speaker bureau or something, and they're nowhere to be found anymore. So,
no,
you know, everybody
don't
I talk to.
And as well as they used to.
Yeah, because
it used to be that speaker bureaus did their job, kind of like book, you know, book publishers, but they don't anymore. They just kind of hang you out there and let you try to pick it all up on yourself. It's not good. But no,
yeah,
I totally
get
what you're saying.
No. So, you know, what I tell people, and if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, that sounds kind of good, what can I do? You know, really simple. Start stepping into your own point of view. Take a stance on something. Have an opinion. And be confident in your opinion. Be confident in what you're talking about. And just open up your laptop or take out your iPhone, your Android device, whatever it is, and just start recording videos of you talking about your opinion. And then just share those with the world. And eventually, as you start doing this, you know, there's a lot of people who do what you do or do what I do. There's a lot of people who will do what a listener's doing. But the difference is that personality. The difference is like the unique magic factor of you, because there's no one else that's just quite like you. Even if you have a twin, they've got a slightly different personality than you have. And we do business with who we like. So, you know, look at this and say, I want results. I want to do something great. But, you know, I just want to be me. You know, live your authentic self day in and day out, every way you look at it. Live who you are, be who you are, and let people in as much as you are comfortable letting them in. Because the more you open up, the better it'll be. Like someone I follow, and it's intrigued it's intrigued me to death right now that I've got to text and ask. But it's, you know, I follow a gentleman, Larry Winget, and Larry's spoken at like 400 of the Fortune 500 companies, and Larry's moving. And I'm just so curious
he's moving yesterday. I don't know. We were talking about that in our pre-interview.
Yeah.
Larry's a good friend of mine. I don't know if they're moving to, you know, they're staying in the Arizona area. I don't know where they're going. It's a big secret. I'm dying to know. I suspect they're not moving too far because they love that area.
Yeah, but, like, we want to know where they're moving.
We do.
Because
we
really want to know about them. It's you know, I don't, like, Larry smokes a cigar and drinks his brown liquor. That's Larry. I may want to know, like, what kind of drink is he drinking, because maybe next time I want to have a drink of whiskey, I'm going to buy the same bourbon or whiskey that he drinks, or I'm going to smoke the same cigar that he drinks. So that's just who Larry Winget is. So when you let people into you and you let them learn you, they will like you. If I want to go, and I've done this before, if I want to learn how to be a better speaker on stages, I'm going to go and invest with Larry, because I like who he is. I like what he does, and he's one of the best in the industry. I mean, when you've keynoted 400 of the Fortune 500 companies, you're doing some amazing stuff. But I want to know where he's moving. And, you know, take that for just a second and think about that and say, you know, maybe you're going out to dinner tonight, or maybe your morning routine, or, you know, and you say, oh, nobody's interested in knowing that I have cats, or nobody's interested in seeing a picture of my dog. Well, that's exactly what they're interested in. What no one's interested in is the normal, boring business crap that you share all the time. They want to get to know you.
Well, and
especially
that's
when you have a
business. Exactly. And we are in the know, like, and trust economy. There's no getting around that. You know, when you and I started, you know, I think you started a little bit before I did. I went back to college, got a computer science degree, 2000-2001. I'm a nerd. But when I started, back in the day, we didn't have GUI, graphical user interface, and I started out as a web developer. I did not go get a job. I created my own business, thank you very much. It was always my intention. We didn't have Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube didn't exist. None of that existed. We got to build flat black background or white background websites with a different color font. That was pretty much what we could do. And then we were able to upload a picture, and that picture, and I know you remember this, was always a very stilted banker pose. You know, you're standing in your suit and your tie, and you've got your hand on your grandfather's leather chair, and your grandfather's above, you know, portrait is behind you. It was so tedious. It was so boring, but that was all that we had. Now we're in the know, like, and trust economy.
Oh, yeah.
People want to get to know us. Look, I pick up more web business just because people follow. I have a hashtag. I have this idiot cat. He's 2 years old. His hashtag name on Facebook is Hamilton is an ass. You get the pets you deserve, right? I apologize to karma every day. I don't know what I did, but I did something. And he has got a big following. Hamilton is an ass. So, I mean, the people like him, and they, you know, they like the stories. In fact, you know, I've had to tell people, look, I can't make these up. I'm just narrating. But it tells them who my personality is, what, you know, what's going on with me. And people, you're right, they do like that. So get out there and share. I mean, don't overshare. I don't want to see your bikini pictures. Seriously, I don't. But, you know, be consistent about your personality shares.
Yeah, I mean, be an authentic you. Like, if you like to cook, then cook. My passed away, but a dear friend of mine, he became a client, then became a friend. And he was a friend when he wasn't a client, then he became a client again, and then he passed away. But he and I would send pictures of the steak we put on our grill. It's just who we were. You know, he loves steak, I love steak, and that's just what we shared. And, you know, we worked together when it made sense, and we were always the first person to go back to the other if it made sense to work together. And when it didn't make sense, that was okay. We were still great friends. And, you know, Suzanne Evans, a mentor of mine, she says when she hires employees, she gives them the bed and breakfast test. And I was real confused at that at first. I was like, well, what's this all about? That doesn't sound like you can even ethically give someone that test, or you're probably violating every HR law in the country. And she said, well, what the test is if we're on a road trip together, driving to a live event or going to a conference or going to a business meeting, and our car breaks down in the middle of nowhere, and I'm stuck, or there's a snowstorm that comes or a hurricane that comes, and I'm stuck in the same hotel with this person for 2 or 3 days. Can I live with them? Not literally in the same hotel room, but like, can I eat every meal with them? They were my only friend there. Can I deal with this person? That's the same test I give my clients, especially my high-end clients, because I want to know you. I want to be part of what you're doing. I don't want to represent you or promote you if I don't believe in what you're doing or what you have. So like, let people in just a little bit. And when they're ready to spend money, they're going to spend money with you because they like you. And if they don't like you, like I remember, it was a couple years ago, but the CEO of GoDaddy killed, I think, a lion or something in Africa. It was big, big news.
Yeah, that,
and people boycotted GoDaddy
because of that. Yep, they sure did.
And they also gained business because of that. Just like when Chick-fil-A came out and made a stance years ago about homosexuality. They lost business and they gained business. So having an opinion isn't a bad thing. Expect some people to leave you and expect some people to run toward you, because the people who can resonate and like your opinion are the people who are going to come towards you. They're going to be, you know, magnetized or gravitized towards you. And the people who don't like that, it was probably never going to work out anyway. Because they don't have the same mindset, they don't have the same thought process, they don't have the same beliefs as you have.
Right, so you're creating your own warm market, which kind of leads me back to the story you were telling about the person you had a conversation with this morning, because this has been niggling at the back of my mind while we're chatting. it occurs to me, and somebody gave me some great advice some time ago, says test everything. So it occurs to me that while they had this great idea and they, you know, invested heavily in it, they didn't actually test their market. Is that a fair assessment? Or they didn't understand who their market was.
Or they didn't have an audience. And that happens more times than not.
And that's, yeah.
They don't spend enough time warming people up. So they're not going to take the time and energy to go and actually get someone excited and warm them up. You know, if you're going to show someone a testimonial, it makes zero sense to show someone a testimonial of what you do unless they know who you are, because they don't care who you are. They don't care that you're the best web designer in the world or you have the best this or that unless they know who you are, for most cases. Now, there's some exceptions to that. If you're a restaurant, then by all means, if you have the best cheeseburger in the world, tell people you have it, they will come. But you have a warm audience because you have the people that are in your community. If you started telling people in California that you have the best cheeseburger in the world and you're in South Carolina, you're not going to get a lot of people from California that are going to hop on an airplane or take a cross-country road trip to come try your cheeseburger. But if you tell your warm audience, the people who are close enough to you, they will gladly come in. So when we're selling our business services or our professional services, we can have an audience that's global, but we have to warm people up to who we are and what we are. We have to go and we have to do podcast interviews. We have to, put videos on social media. We have to, host our own Facebook Lives or write our own blog posts or whatever those things are, so people get to know us, because now we have a warm audience of business owners. They're like, oh, I know who Gary is, or I know who Sally is. And then whenever they need the service that Gary or Sally offers, they're going to come back and they're going to hire that person because they have a trust factor already built in with them. So I agree with you wholeheartedly that this story that I was telling at the beginning, I don't think they took the time on the front end. They had an audience that would buy an expensive high-end, high-ticket object, but they didn't have a big enough audience that would buy a low ticket object, because $500,000 a year, you go sell 10 people a $50,000 product and you've just made $500,000. You want to make $500,000
right.
a year and you want to sell a $50 product. Oh my goodness. You got to sell way more people a $50 product. If you want to make $500,000 a year, you got to sell 10,000 units of that product.
Right. It's a numbers game. But let me ask you this. And it would seem to me that if you're working with high-dollar clients, people who want to work with you, directly with you, they want you to kind of be their solution or their mentor, or I don't know what it is that she offers, it would not seem to me that they would be even close to your audience for a low-ticket item. That would be a completely different audience. Am I right, or am I way off base?
No, you're 100% correct. You know, people
okay,
who
so
want to hire
question.
Us.
That's my question. Were
they
trying to market,
you know, our
to that
level
same market?
Clients, I think they are, because when you go to a high level ticket or a high ticket price, you're marketing to the same audience online, but you need substantially less people to say yes. So you don't have to be that good at advertising or marketing. You don't have to have that good of a message. Because if you're going to go after an audience that's, you know, you've got 100,000 potential customers and you're only trying to get 10 of them, you can probably get 10 people to say yes. But it's way harder to get 10,000 of those people to say yes. And that's what happens. You know, when you're trying to get 10 people to say yes, you do things like you jump on a one-on-one phone call with them. You send them a gift in the mail. You spend a couple days with them at a live event. You actually, they get to know you even though they don't realize it and you don't realize it. You know, when you do that one-on-one strategy session or that discovery call with someone, you're getting to know each other. It's like a first date. But when you're doing and trying to go out and grab a big audience or a massive group of people to spend the low ticket amount with you, you've got to emulate those first date experiences with the masses. And a lot of people, they say, I'm going to go do this one item and I'm going to have this one first date, and I'm going to let everybody go on the same first date with me. But not everybody wants that same first date with you. So what I recommend, and what I've told this person, we're actually connecting on Sunday, is I said, you know, it's really simple. We've got to build our avatar. or our audience. We have to know who that audience is. And then we have to think about, what does that audience want? So we have to have a right message, something that they want. And then we have to show it to them at the right time, whatever that time is. Right message to the right audience at the right time. That's the R3MAT method. Right message, right audience, right time. Because if you serve the right message to the wrong audience, that's not going to work out. Or if you serve the right message to the right audience, but you do it at the wrong time, that's not going to work out either. You know, if you've got a group of people like, I don't know, Guilty Pleasure, every year you get the Hickory Farms little booth that sets up in the shopping malls. They have these cheese balls. They are so good. I buy one every year whenever Christmas comes around. Or Starbucks, even a better example. Starbucks has their pumpkin spice lattes. And I know there's some people that will take one of those all year. But pumpkin is fall. And when you think of fall, you think of pumpkin. So if they tried to do pumpkin spice lattes in the spring, you know, some people would just be ecstatic because they're just fanatical fans. But for the mass majority of the world, they're like, I don't want pumpkin right now. You know, if you try to open the best ice cream shop in the world and you open it in the dead middle of winter, you're probably not going to have a lot of success. People want ice cream in the summer. So timing comes into play more than anyone realizes. So the right message to the right audience at the right time. And you have to spend time testing, just as you said, what message relates to what audience. And sometimes I've found that females age 45 to 50 will relate to one audience and a different audience. Like, for example, in our mentor program, we have 360 some videos sitting in there. There's an audience that wants 360 videos because they value the delivery of the size of that training vault. And they're putting the price value on. That's a lot of content. So I can pay a little bit of money and get access to a lot of content. And you have a total different audience. And one gentleman I spoke to, he said, I was ready to buy until I heard 362 videos. And then I said, I don't have enough time to watch 362 videos. I got an overwhelm. So you have a different audience that doesn't want 362 videos. So that's where the messaging comes back into play. And if you can get these three things to work right, then you will absolutely make the largest impact you've ever made in business.
Okay, Gary, let's turn that scenario, because I heard you talking about that on a call yesterday. Let's turn that particular scenario into Facebook ads. I'm just assuming because I am not a Facebook ads expert. I have somebody on my team that handles that. I know better, but I will be learning with you. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I'm assuming that you would take that and split that to one audience that clearly doesn't want the videos, you know, who would consider that overwhelm, and then basically take the same message but add the videos in. Is that, am I guessing correctly?
Yeah.
Because it's a guess. It's a wag.
Right.
You know what a wag is.
Right?
You're from the South.
Yeah. Most definitely. Yep. If you can identify the psychodemographics in an audience, that, you know, are they male or female? What does a guy want compared to what does a female want? Or what, like, look at the age. What age of, you know, what does a younger person want compared to what does an older person want? Look at income range or lifestyle, you know, and when you can start to figure those things out, you know, I've found, for example, people who do more high-end businesses, they care less about the videos. They care more about the coaching calls. People who are running more of a low-end business or a startup business, they care more about the videos. They care less about the coaching calls because they're intimidated and they don't know what they want. So I would take a message, and I may have a very similar core message, but I may bolt on a little bit of pieces, and I may say, if you're just getting started in business, then save your money and do not invest in paying someone else to run your Facebook ads. Come and learn how to run them from me for, you know, X amount of dollars per month or X amount of dollars per year. I have all the training that you will need, and you can keep all that money you would normally pay someone to do it in your pocket. And they're going to relate to that. For someone that's running a more established business they're doing, you know, maybe 6 or 7 figures in business, I'm going to say, you know, the biggest problem with doing online advertising is when you don't get that right message and you serve it to that wrong audience. So you may have your ads running and you may have everything running in place. That's great. But come and jump on my coaching calls every week, and one little tweak that we can make to that message could 2x, 3x, 4x your ROI. And I've done it over a dozen times in the last 6 months. Just that one little tweak. It's so simple. It's so easy. You're close to it. But as an outsider, I get to come in and see it and make that one shift that will work like crazy. We're just all different people. There's a lady, she has a house in Colorado, and she was running a special for Black Friday. And she runs masterminds in this house. It's a gorgeous, like, 10-bedroom house with a pool and everything. And for you get access to the entire house to run a live event for $5,000 a day. It's not a bad deal. She was running a Black Friday Cyber Monday special, and it was $1,500 a day. Great deal. You know, great deal if you've ever ran a live event. And that included the catering. And that included her being there as your assistant on site to make sure that your every want, need, everything was all taken care of. So I went to buy a couple of
days. Can I interrupt for just a second?
Because I thought, you know what, I'm going to run some events. Yeah, you sure can.
I have a question real quick. To go from 5,000 to 1,500 would make me, because I'm natively suspicious, go, what's wrong? Is the roof leaking? Are there rats? What's going on? I would instantly question that drop. That's just
that's
me. And
you.
I can't believe I'm alone in that. Really? Oh, I would instantly say,
you're
okay,
probably
what's the
not.
Deal?
For me, and maybe it's because I knew a little bit of insider information, I knew she needed to raise some capital, because she had a balloon payment coming on the house. So instead of going and getting a loan, she needed to make a little bit of money. So I went to buy some days because I thought, this is a good deal. I'm going to run some events. But the way she sold me the days actually turned me off, and I didn't spend any money with her. Because whenever I went to buy my days, it said, pick 1 day, 2 days, 5 days, as many as you want for $1,500 a day. I immediately got into my head, and I was like, well, what day would I run my live event on? I wonder if that day is available, or has somebody already booked that day? I wonder what the weather's going to be there on that day. Oh, man, I haven't even thought about my live event yet. I can't pay this money today, because what if I don't run a live event then? So I didn't spend any money with her. But what I told her to do is I said, you know, if you would do a couple of 3-day events, a couple of 2-day events, and a couple of 1-day events, and actually put the date with it. And, you know, let's just say, for example, on, I don't know, maybe we look and we say, well, August the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, there's a 3-day event. $4,500, run a 3-day event, August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. What we just did, at least for my brain, is now I've envisioned what my event's going to be. I'm like, oh, we're going to be in Colorado in August. You're going to be able to use the backyard pool because she's got a heated pool in the backyard. She's got a sand volleyball court outside. It's going to be gorgeous at night so we can set her on the fire pit. It's perfect. I want to buy August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. She just planted the seed in my head. Where when she just tried to sell me 3 ambiguous days throughout the year, I couldn't envision what my event would look like.
That makes perfect
sense.
So
that's where the messaging comes in. And for you, you know, 5,000 down to 1,500, you say, is the roof leaking? So for you, she would need to cover some different messaging that says, and maybe give you the backstory of why she's running the special. Because owning a business, you could 100% respect what it's like when you hit a cash crunch and you need to make a little bit of extra money.
Absolutely. But without that information, I would be, the back of my brain would be itchy. I would have to wonder what's going on. What don't I know? What can go wrong? And I don't suspect that I'm alone in that because, you know, as business owners, as entrepreneurs, we're always kind of waiting for that other shoe to fall and we're trying to prevent it. So I would be wondering, is this thing in foreclosure? Is it going to be available when I get there? I mean, that's just how my brain works.
So there's 2 people on this call right now, 2 people doing this recording, and there's thousands of people that are going to listen to this. And out of the 2 people on this call, we have different objections. Your objection is, is it going to be there? Is it in foreclosure? Why is it so cheap? My objection is I couldn't envision my dates. Neither one of us would have bought. So rather than trying to cover everyone's objections, and rather than trying to be something to everyone, that's where the right message to the right audience at the right time comes in, because you find that group of people, that audience, that they need to know the dates because that's how their brain works. And you serve those people in that way. And then you find a total different group of people, because I will guarantee you someone listening to this probably said, you know what, Gary, if she would have had the dates on there, I wouldn't have booked, because I don't want to lock into dates yet because I don't know what's going on. And that would have been my turnoff. So what we do as business owners so many times is we do it our way, and we do it one way and only one way. And then we say, okay, I did it. I got my one way, and we put it out to the world. And we show that same one way to everyone. And at the end of the day, we get a small segment of people that relate to our one way, and they buy. Now, let's just imagine that we take our one way, and the way we think, and the way we talk, and the way our minds work, and the way our business works. And what if we were sharing stuff every single day with the world about that? And we were letting the world, the business world, into us every day. Now, all of a sudden, we would have an audience of people that would be probably quite large, that would just be our people. They would just relate to us. They would have the same fears that you have on, is this house in foreclosure or is it not? And then when we come up with this irresistible offer, because it was an amazing offer, when we come up with that offer, we just show that offer to our people that we've already been building our relationship with for the past months or years. And you know what those people will do? They will buy because they're already our people. So it goes back to its core, right message to the right audience at the right time.
I think what a lot of people don't understand about marketing, digital or otherwise, that it really is a long game. You do have to build that relationship. You have to build that credibility. You have to show people who you are and why you're a great choice to work with or purchase from or mentor with or whatever it is that you're going to do. People really need to know you. They really need to understand how you can solve their pain points, whether it's today because it's, you know, one day offer, whether it's a year down the road with a mentoring program, whatever it is. But they need to feel comfortable and confident that you're the person, you're their guy, you're their woman. And I think so many people who are jumping into marketing right now don't get that. One big thing on Facebook, and this is just, it's a small thing, but it's kind of almost a epidemic, and it shows you what people don't know about marketing. But I'm very careful about who I accept friend requests from. LinkedIn, Facebook, doesn't matter. And instantly, and it's happening on LinkedIn as well, I will get, you know, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I've got this MLM opportunity, and can we talk? Dude, you didn't even ask me to coffee. Now you're asking me to the prom? Nope. And I'm telling you, I will kick your butt to the curb so quick. But it's like an epidemic almost. People want instant gratification.
Yep.
Doesn't work that way.
I mean, whether you're doing mass scale marketing or whether you're talking to an individual person, it's all the same. What's the right message to say to this one person at what time? Now, if that person, I tell something and it's quite polarizing. But I do this a lot from stages, and just bear with me if this doesn't fit into your style, but if I was a single man and I walked up in a bar and I walked up to a lady and I slapped her ass, gave her a kiss, and then bought her a drink. And I do that, and I say that because I want it to be a little polarizing. And I want you to sit here and say, whoa, you can't do that, because I can't, because that's not right. It's not the right thing to do to someone. But you know what? If I walk up and I buy them a drink and we have a conversation and we get to know each other, maybe 6 months from now, maybe we'll have a kiss. And then maybe, because we do this when way down the road when we're married and you're in the kitchen cooking dinner one night, I may walk into the kitchen, I may give you a little tap on the rear. And you may look at that as a sign of endearment and you may say, oh, that's sweet. But not if I would have done it on the first date. Or not if I would have done it the first day that I walked up and met you at church or the bar or the restaurant or wherever it is. So there's a right time and place for everything. And that's what we have to put into marketing. It's why I hate Facebook bots. You know, someone, it was just, I mean, it was early this morning or late last night. I forget, one of the two. Somebody writes stop or unsubscribe to a message I'd sent them. And I wrote them back and I said, I want you to know, this isn't a robot, this is me. And they said, oh, I'm so annoyed with so many bots, I wasn't even sure. And I said, no worries, I am too. That's why I don't use them. Because I hate them. Like, you start talking to me and you start saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. Or, you know, I opted into something last night that I thought was cool. It was like the 10 apps that every person creating video should have on their iPhone. It's like, ooh, that's cool. And I started getting bombarded with Facebook messages from this person. And it was an automated robot. And I tried to unsubscribe. And I said, stop. And their message that they sent back to me was, hi, Gary. How can we help you? I said, unsubscribe. And they wrote me back again and said, hi, Gary. How can we help you? I just told you how you could help me. But your bots broke. And you didn't help me. So you lost all my trust. You lost all my respect. And I blocked you because I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm not even going to go read the guide you sent me, even though I was super interested in reading your guide. Because I don't care, because your business is so out of whack.
So that goes back to stop automating. I actually had a similar thing happen, and I won't say his name because he's really quite well known in the marketing industry. But I kept getting these, hi, Denise, you know, I would like to talk to you about such and such. And finally, I did the same thing. I said, stop. And I got another message. I said, are you a bot? He said, no, it's really me. I said, prove it. So we got on the phone. I still didn't buy. He still could not talk me into whatever he wanted. But, and I liked the guy, but it really, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, it really annoyed me then, and I'm getting a little bit testy about it now. It was so over the top. He said, no, no, I'm not a bot. Well, you're sure doing a good job of imitating when you might want to rethink that. And I actually did say that too.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's annoying.
You know, I'll use a bot to make the very first point of contact. So if someone reaches out on our website, they will get something back that says, what's your email address so we can follow up with you? And that's the end of our bot. So our bot is, it shows up and it appears, it's like, hey, you got a question about this? Or if they're reading a certain blog, it's like, oh, do you run an e-commerce website? Do you want to know, and we want to know what your URL is. So we're like, what's your URL? We want to check it out. That's our bot. And then as soon as they write to us and tell us what their URL is, we do follow up and say, hey, what's your email so we can follow up with you? And then it's done. We're not trying to automate 32 questions. We're only trying to automate one thing, which is we want to make that first point of contact. And then it's handed off to a real-life person, me or, you know, one of my team members. And we close deals left and right manually, one by one by one, by talking to people. We don't close them by letting a bot automate everything. We close them by doing that. So when you're going to – if you're going to use automation and you're going to build a bot, just try to be smart about it. You know, you're going to use marketing automation through like Infusionsoft or HubSpot or whatever it is. Just try and be smart. Try to do the same thing. Say the right thing to the right person at the right time. And when you can do that, then your marketing's not hard anymore. It's not, I need to have the best tactic, or I need to know the next hack, or I need to hire the savviest person, or I need to do this. It's none of that. You can cut all that out of your vocabulary, all that out of your mind. All you need to do is create good stuff and show it to the right people at the right time.
Oh, you are preaching to the choir. I mean, seriously. I close every single deal that I've ever made on the phone, without question. I've never done one in person. I don't have to. I close on the phone. But I don't want to automate. I mean, yes, I want you to read my stuff. Yes, I want you to connect with me, laugh at my silly cat, do whatever you want to do. But, you know, the automating, it just feels so impersonal. And it feels almost, to me, desperate. It's like you're just so desperate to get those numbers. And, you know, I get tired of people saying, oh, my downloads on my podcast are, you know, they're this, that, and the other. Why do you care? I'll tell you what happens with, I don't even look at my download numbers. I'll be very frank with you. I don't care. the magic for me happens now when I'm speaking with you. And the magic for me also happens when I do the, oh my God, thank you, that was a fantastic call, after we get off of this. And then the magic continues as we build a relationship. Either I can try to help you or I can recommend you. That's where the magic is for me. I don't care about the download numbers. I seriously don't care. But so many people are so, you know, my bot's not working or my downloads are not good or, you know, my open rate and constant contact is lousy. Relax. Give good content.
You know, every client,
I'm going to get you to speak to that. Content, content, content. Help people. So I'm going to mute myself and you go.
Yeah, every client that I talk with, they always have a goal in mind. And they'll tell me, I want to sell this many of this, or I want 5,000 people on my email list, or I want that. And what I tell them is, you know, if you want to sell 1,000 units of your product, all you need is 1,000 people. That's it. You don't need 10,000 people. You don't need 60,000 people. You know why the biggest launch gurus go get 100,000 people to opt in? Because they know they can only sell to 1,000 people. They want to sell to 1,000. They can only sell to 1%. So they got to get 99% of the wrong audience to find the 1% of the right audience that will buy their product. What if they just got better about getting the audience? What if they provided better content? What if they provided better everything across the board to these people? And what if they just said, you know what? I just need 1,000 people, and I'm going to sell 100% of them. I mean, when I sell high-end services, I close about 95% of my phone calls because I'm polarizing. I email you ahead of time, and I say, hey, it's $90,000 at a minimum to work with me. Do you still want to hop on the phone with me? And if they never write me back, I'm like, okay, that's good. Didn't waste my time, because I don't want to jump on a call with somebody. I don't want to sell them. I want them to sell me on why I should work with them. So I flip all that around, because, you know, I'm just every single day I'm doing what I do. There's a huge, huge company, huge informational product company that I have a call with next week about moving to HubSpot. And I've never had any relationship with this company at all. But they tagged me in a post because they said, we know you talk about HubSpot a good bit. We want to move our company to HubSpot. We want to move out of Infusionsoft. Can you help us? Well, imagine if I didn't talk about how great HubSpot was. They would have never at that point in time reached out to me. But I'm just being me. I'm providing the content that's serving my ideal audience because I'm so crystal clear about who my ideal audience is. So, yes, I mean, be yourself. But just share what you do. You know, like when people are doing websites, and if you're in web development, you only do a new website every so often. You don't do one every week. You know, I know you are. I know you
well,
do
I do two or three a
them.
Month, but yeah, I know what you mean.
But a client doesn't buy two or three a month from you. That client will buy a website today, and then they may buy another one 12 months from now or 18 months from now or 24 months from now. Or they may be watching your stuff, wanting to buy a new website, but they know they can't do it until next year. So that you need to stay top of mind with them. Because when the time comes, you need to make sure that they know you're the person that they're going to hire. So it's not give me your money and put a deposit down. It's, you know, hey, here's this new trend in web development, or here's this new website we just produced, or, you know, this is our new thing, this is that. You're providing content day in and day out, serving an audience. So when they're ready for you, when the timing is right, they will come right back to you.
Oh, I've had that happen. I've had people watch me for a couple of years and all of a sudden say, okay, I'm ready. Great. What I do in my business, though, is often, and I have to toot my own horn a bit, all of my clients but two, my original website clients, are still with me. We've rebuilt their websites multiple times. I go on to do their social media marketing. It's an ongoing relationship. But two of them, one passed away, the other one retired and moved to Germany, but they're all still with me. I'm very proud of that record.
You should be. I mean, it's so hard to go get a new client. It's so much easier to just do what you said you were going to do and serve an existing client. And even if you only have one offer, you're smart. You've created offers that they need outside of getting a website developed. you've created social media offers or these other offers that they need in the interim. But even if you only have that one product, just stay in touch with them. You know, I bought a sleep mask from this company called Manta, and I love their sleep mask. It's phenomenal. It was like $35. It's the best one I've ever owned. But now they email me about once a week and try to sell me another sleep mask. I mean, let's just be real. How many sleep masks does someone actually need? I only have two eyes. Like, I don't have any more eyes. I don't need any more sleep masks. So don't try to sell me a sleep mask every day. If you sell websites, don't try to sell someone a website a month after they just bought one.
Oh, gosh, no.
The timing.
No, no, no. I know.
Like, it's just That's not true. What you do.
I mean, it's funny you mentioned that sleep mask because I need to order a new one. Mine, I finally just tore it up in the wash. It got washed too many times, but I'm going to go look at Manta, so thank you for that.
You should, but unsubscribe from their list as soon as you buy because they're going to email you.
I always do.
I mean, yeah. Like, literally, they're going to email you so many times. And it's just, I mean, if I look at this, I've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've had 11 emails from them in the month of November. 1, 2,
oh,
3,
no.
4,
no,
5,
no, no.
6,
That's
6
unacceptable.
Emails from them in the month of October.
Nope.
And I kept
Bad
it.
Bad business.
And I kept their emails because I wanted to see how many times they were emailing me to talk about on interviews and videos and stuff just like this. Because their product's phenomenal. But their marketing is horrible. So don't be Manta.
Well, let's hope that somebody over there is listening. Yeah, let's
hope,
hope
they
somebody
are.
Somebody is listening and will say, hey, call Gary. He can help you. Well, listen, Gary, we've got about
just,
3 minutes
yeah,
before we stop recording. So do me a favor and just kind of go down the line of what we were talking about, why businesses should do their online marketing, and just kind of summarize the lessons that you wanted to share with people.
Yeah, most definitely. So if you're not spending at least $10,000 a month on online advertising, you should be doing it yourself. Or you should have an internal employee that's doing it. Because in order to hire someone that does a quality job, it's going to cost you a couple thousand dollars a month in their service fees. And I've never found anyone and I've never can show you the return on that couple thousand dollars a month investment when you're spending less than $10,000 on advertising. So it's not hard to do. Take a few moments, learn how to do it yourself, and keep that money in your pocket or spend that money. Let's say that hiring someone would be 10% better or 20% better than you. Well, it still doesn't cover the spread of what you just invested to hire them. So do your marketing yourself if you're a small business. Number two, really focus on knowing who your audience is and serving that audience with a message every single day. I have a general rule of thumb. If I'm going to post something on social media, I should be willing to spend $5 or $10 promoting it. And if I don't, then I don't post it. And most of my posts, I will spend a couple dollars promoting them just to make sure they get seen. So don't say something if you don't want somebody to see it. But make sure that everything you say, you're trying to get people to see it. Because the biggest thing I can leave you with is what the world doesn't need is more content. The world has a lot of content. There's a lot of stuff, videos, audios, blog posts, written, you know, all this stuff. There's a lot of content in this world. But what the world needs and what this, like these, your audience, these savvy consumers are trying to find is they're trying to find what they want at the right time. So when you create that piece of content, you should be spending four times more money, energy, time, effort, everything, four times what it took you to create it in promoting it. And if you're not, you should not be creating another piece of content until you've done so with the piece you just created.
Excellent. Okay, so honestly, I hope you'll come back next year. I mean, we didn't even cover half of the stuff that you've got to share.
Oh, I'd love to, anytime.
Oh, good. You see what I did there? I did it on the radio. You can't tell me no. Very sneaky, huh?
Oh, I'm always honored to come in. And, you know, you've got to practice what you preach. And what I preach is be warming up an audience every day. And why not warm up your audience? Because there may be one or two people out there that are ideal to work with me.
Exactly. And speaking of which, where can people find you on the web? And I think you have a special offer going on right now, unless it's expired. So tell people where they can locate
you. Yeah, so the best place to find us is digitalmarketing.org. So it's D-I-G-I-T-A-L, marketing.org, O-R-G. Right now, we have our DM Impact program for $49 a month. I'm not sure how long it's going to sit there. We've set some milestones in our company, and we've almost reached them. So it will be going up. So come in and check it out. If you come to our website, just hit training in the top nav, and you'll see our full access, our full course, my mentoring that I'm jumping on calls every single week. So come in and check that out. But if it's not the right fit for you, come and read our blog. We're publishing new content all day, every day at digitalmarketing.org.
Thank you. Gary, thank you so much. It has been a genuine pleasure speaking with you, and I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you shared with our audience, and I genuinely look forward to having you back, gosh, next year. I can't believe how fast this year has gone. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Thank you.
Most definitely. Thank you so much.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottogovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.